Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. These are very familiar words in our short meditation on this. We'll hopefully unpack this a little bit about what it implies. Of course, it's a summary of the law, which we just rehearsed, which we do every month here. So remember that the law is a schoolmaster, as St. Paul said in Galatians. It's a schoolmaster. We can't possibly fulfill all the law. That's why Christ came. But it gives us a template of what is expected of us. The teaching of the church for these Sundays after Trinity seeks always to set before us the practical demands of our lives as Christians. This series of scriptures lessons, Sunday by Sunday, presents us over and over again with the question, how must we as Christians live our lives in the world? How must we as Christians live our lives in this world? What must be our attitudes? What must be the character of our relationships with one another, within and without the church? What must be our hope and our expectations? What must our conduct be in this or that situation? The scripture lessons answer such questions in the most profoundly practical way. But of course, the answers are practical for us only insofar as we are willing to think seriously about the meaning of those lessons, and only insofar as we are willing to relate that meaning to the concrete circumstances of our own individual lives. No one else can really do it for us. Thoughtful Bible study should help us to do it. Sermons and other kinds of instructions should help us also. But finally, it comes down to this. These lessons will be meaningful and relevant to us only insofar as we are ready to give them our own meaningful thought and prayerful attention. Only insofar as we are really willing to open our own minds and hearts to God's word for us and let it be our God. The gospel lesson for today offers a kind of a summary of the practical demands of the Christian life. Again, thou shalt love the Lord thy God, says Jesus. Then comes first, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And then, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. As I said before, how familiar are these words for us? How simple they are, how straightforward and positive they seem to be, and yet how difficult they seem to be in practice. We have no trouble really in seeing what the words mean. They're perfectly simple, straightforward words, and they strike us as having a clear and obvious authority. That isn't the problem. The problem is that they demand a transformation of our lives in every aspect, a transformation of our attitudes and standards, a transformation of our hopes and expectations, a transformation of the way we live our lives. They demand the practical conversion of our lives, the practical conversion of our lives, turning about. That conversion, as today's colloquy reminds us, has two sides to it. Lord, we beseech thee, grant thy people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow thee, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Christian conversion has two sides, a turning away from temptations and a turning towards God. A turning away from temptations and a turning towards God. So first of all, there is a renunciation, a turning of our backs upon the world, the flesh and the devil, for only so will we be able with pure hearts and minds to follow God. We cannot serve two masters. Insofar as we are followers of the world, insofar as we look to the world around us as the standard and measure of our lives, we cannot be followers of God. As we look to the world and all that it does, and we follow it, we're not following God if we do so. Insofar as we are followers of the flesh, insofar as we measure our lives according to what is immediately pleasant and agreeable to us, we follow that, we cannot be followers of God. Insofar as we are followers of the devil, that is to say, insofar as we put ourselves in place of God as arbiters of good and evil, we cannot be followers of God. This is the problem in a lot of so-called churches, where they adapt the world, where they say, well, that's thousands of years old. God has changed. He realized we're different now, so he changed. God does not change. That doesn't change. We're supposed to be changed by it, and it's not to be changed to suit us. So there are choices here, practical choices, which must be made by each and every one of us, every day, in every circumstance. They are choices made for us at baptism. They are the choices we ourselves affirmed at our confirmation, and only insofar as we are prepared to live those choices day by day in every aspect of our lives. Is the Word of God only really practical for us? So we live those choices day by day in every aspect of our lives, then the Word of God becomes practical for us. And only insofar as that conversion, that turning around, is a daily pattern of our lives, are we able to follow God with pure, that is to say, unmixed hearts. Pure, unmixed hearts and minds. But how can we do that? Is it really practical for us? Once again, today's gospel speaks to this question. The scribe in today's story knew the law of God, and he understood the meaning of the law. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, Jesus tells him. Not far from the kingdom of God. Not far, but something is lacking. And Jesus goes on to speak of that. Knowing the meaning of the law is not enough. There must be the doing of the law. Knowing the law is one thing. Doing it is something else. But the doing of God's law in our lives is really only possible when we genuinely acknowledge the divine lordship of Jesus Christ in our hearts and minds. The authority of that law is not the authority of King David, nor of any other earthly institution. A greater than David, King David is here, whom David himself acknowledges as Lord. Therefore, in our colloquy, we pray that God himself, whose law it is, will give us grace through Jesus Christ to withstand temptation and to follow him with pure, unmixed hearts and minds. Only by the grace of God can we do it. Finally, St. Paul in today's epistle gives us a glimpse of the practical fulfillment of Christian life and gives thanks for the grace of God which has enabled the Christian converts in ancient Corinth to live in accordance with the Word of God in Christ. As he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the witness of Christ was confirmed in you, that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that he may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you suppose that the same words could be said of us? Do you suppose the same words could be said of us? By the grace of God, surely it could be so. And surely we must pray that it may be so. And the aid to that, doing that, is coming to his table and to receive the renewing grace of his receiving sacramentally his very body and blood. Let's prepare for that feast. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.